What is, we've got a bus family in here. Children have been coming here for about 6-8 years. Their mother used to come. She lived down, and I ain't been able to get her back in, and it's been about 3 years now, but the children are still coming, and a couple of them stay with her dad. I think she's got 6 or 7 children, and a couple of them are staying with her dad and her family. Well, this past week, they had their sewage system had went out, and they had tried to get help from different areas, and finally one outfit said the best thing you can do is you can contact some church. Maybe they can help you. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to raise up some money for them.
Did he get missions?
Did he?
Oh, okay.
Can we run this out there?
I missed it running through. But that's what we're going to try to be a help to that family for the next couple of weeks. The church has already paid for it, but we're going to try to raise up the money, let everybody have a part in it that's willing. And then anything more above that that's taken up will go into missions. And I wouldn't mind if there be gleanings of, you know, of 12 baskets full with y'all. I mean, go towards missions. So we're back on this thing of warfare, and I started the other week looking at this thing about the battle for the battle for the heart and the mind and the soul of mankind. We looked at a couple things. We looked at some things that I just can't figure out about this thing of heart, mind, and soul. You'll find it when you study your Bible. They so link together, a lot of times it's hard to tell one from the other. You know? With the mind, you think, right? Well, the heart thinks too, you know? You know, you've got the mind has desires, but the desires is the seat of the heart. The heart's the seat of our desires. And both of these move our soul into making decisions. You know? Both of these move within us and help us to make decisions, and a lot of times these decisions ain't always that good. But then we looked at a couple of examples of how this, we see this, that not only we can say within ourselves, well, I'm saved, I've got a new heart, and I don't have to worry about this, because, you know. But we looked at King Saul, and God had gave him a new heart. God had made him another man, and yet we find him later rebelling against God. And so we got to be careful. We know that in the scriptures, we know how deceitful the heart can be. So, hey, we got to be on guard, because I'm going to tell you something. We know that Satan warreth against the mind, and the mind and heart are so connected with one another that heart can deceive us. And we got to be careful. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but you'll find that oftentimes, you know, the heart and mind will lean to their own understanding. So we got to be careful then. We looked at also about over, and we will kind of go back over there. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. How that the heart can deceive you. Again, reading in verse 2, it said, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, and neither shall you touch it." Now, I don't know if God had said that or not. We don't find that God said that previously, that he said, you shall not touch it. That could have been something that they, well, you know, it's just common sense. If you can't, you know, if you, you can't eat it, surely you can't touch it, right? If you, you know, and, but you find a little something added on, tagged on there that we don't find that God said unto Adam. And neither shall you touch it lest you die. So you see her, she formulating things in her mind, you see. She's got things going on in her mind. She's heard what Satan has said, and now she's formulating things in her mind, and she's making her argument. You know what I'm saying? Well, there wasn't no argument to be made. God had told him what to do. There ain't nothing to argue about, is there? If you know what he said, there's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to formulate in their mind. It's just be obedient to what God has said. But now she's developing an argument in her mind. And now, and then the serpent, you know, he comes back with his arm. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, one of the things I want you to see right here, she heard what was said, and she reasoned it in her own mind. She took what God said, she took what Satan had said, and she reasoned it out in her own mind. But the Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways, and acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But here she is, she's reasoning within herself. She's listening to the argument that Satan has laid out and the things that she knew that God has said, and now she's made a decision. And here's what happens when she's, now notice this, she's reasoning things in her mind. Now look down here, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now see, it's entered into her eyes, it's gone down inside of her. These are the windows of the soul. It went down into her inner being, and here's what she said. Saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. I mean, it looked good to her. Again, she's reasoning. If it looks good, it's probably good, right?
Amen.
But God said, it's not. You need to stay away from it. It's not. It don't belong to you. Look, we can see things out in this world. It'll look good to us. But there's some things that don't belong to you. You know? Some of you, you've got a wife, you might see another man's wife, she looks really good to you. But she don't belong to you.
Amen.
You leave it alone, amen?
Amen?
This fruit did not belong to her. It belonged to God. He said, don't eat it. But now she is reasoning. She saw, she desired. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. So now it's what she is seeing, what she's reasoning, now she's got a desire for it. We can, things in this world, hey, things that you see, you start thinking on stuff, next thing you know, evil imaginations. They proceed out of the heart. You got a new heart, but I'm going to tell you something. You got an old one, too. You got new desires, but you got old desires, too. It's still sewed up in this old body of flesh. And she is seeing these things. Now, you got to understand, she was innocent up to this point, but now she's being corrupted. And what's doing it? Huh? She's giving heed to seducing spirits. She's giving heed. She's listening to them. Now here's the thing that, you know, I don't care. You do with it what you want to, but I think about all this stuff. And sometimes I may get out in left field because it just comes to my mind. But I look at this. Is not Satan God's servant? Is he not that wicked servant?
Amen.
Did God know where he was at?
Yes.
Absolutely. Did God know where Eve was at?
Yes.
Could he have not intervened, stepped in there, and told her, run him off, told her to get back over with her husband where she belonged? But he didn't, did he? Now, you tell me why? I don't know why. All I know is got something to do with free will.
Absolutely.
That's all I know.
Absolutely.
God knew, and we know that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world because this was already, God already knew these things were going to happen. He already knew she was going to fall, but praise God, God had already made a way of escape.
Amen.
So don't get mad with God. Be thankful to God. It was once read a sermon by John Wesley about that where sin abounded, did grace much more abound. And the love of God that was found in the fall. I can't explain it. I just know it's so. When I was a young man, when I'd read this, it made me mad. I said, God, you made us. You knew we were going to fall. And people were going to end up dying and going to hell. How could you dare do that? You can shake your head at me, but some of y'all have had thoughts like that too in your lifetime.
Amen.
But when I saw Calvary, changed it all. Changed my mind. I saw a God that loved despite. Well, take that walk through the garden when the one that betrayed him, the one he knew in heaven before mankind, old Lucifer, looked at him and said, wherefore art thou come, friend? Because God loves with an everlasting love. And as the preacher says, as long as there's breath, there's hope. But there's people out there that need to hear our breath, amen? They need to hear us tell them about the love of God.
Amen.
Tell them, say, you're without excuse, people. God loves you. God, there's nobody, he's not going to reject you. Jesus has already died for you.
Amen.
Eternal life is yours to accept or reject. But it's found in one person, in Jesus. You're going to have to accept him to receive it.
Amen.
Look at her. She desired it. Her heart. And now look what happened. Her heart and her reasoning has spoke. Now here's a soul making a decision to rebel against God. That's where it always starts. It starts in your mind. The devil puts them thoughts. You start reasoning. Then your heart starts hearing your reasoning and says, yeah, that makes sense. Boy, I kind of like that idea. Next thing you know, you're starting desiring things that don't belong to you. You see it on commercials and televisions over and over and over and over again. And then you start desiring things that don't belong to you. And then your soul makes a decision to go for it. Let's look over in the book of Psalms, chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. And I'm about. My eyes are all cloudy. I'm going to get me some glasses. Keep wiping my eyes, but they still keep getting boogers in. In Psalms chapter 2, it says, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And here's what they come up with. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I want you to look at that statement God just said right there. He said, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I declare a decree, the Lord has said to him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He says, Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Why are you in Christ today? I tell you why. Because God loves his son.
Amen.
We were his enemies. He said, I'll have them in derision. Huh? Ain't you glad you got a daysman to come in between us and God the Father? Huh? You know why he's saved? Because he loves his son. You know why you saved? Because the son loves his father. Amen? He come and died for us because of his love for his father. Because God so loved the world. But we were his enemies. He had made us. We had corrupted the world. And then the world, hey, who became the God of the world that God had created? And whose fault was it that he did become the God of this world that God had created? The true God had created. When Eve over there, when her heart and her mind was corrupted, and she said yes, and her husband with her, they turned the world that God had given them. Now, it didn't belong to them, but he had made them to be overseers of it. Huh?
Amen.
They were to take care of it. He put everything under their authority, did he not? Everything. He put everything under their authority. And then what did they do? They turned around and come under the authority of Satan through their rebellion. And now he's become, God's world is now being corrupted. Because we put the devil in charge of it. Now he's the God of this world. And since that time, he's corrupted man and every government that's ever been formed. Now, whose idea was it for government? Who instituted government? Who caused governments to be formed? Who is it that set up the family? But who is it that's corrupted all those things today? Nowadays, a family could be four or five men living together with, you know, going out. I mean, you know, it's getting that way. It's insane. You know? It's going crazy. Remember seeing a guy over in what country was that? Australian. I think he had 18 wives. He had like 180 some people in his family that moved like in a caravan. Now, what kind of family is that? Huh? He ain't even got time to even talk to none of them. You know? He's like a mayor of his own little community that he's, you know, come out of his own loins. But that's the kind of world. It's been corrupted. And why? Because the heart and the mind rebelled against God. And now you find them over here. And the heathen are raging. They imagine a vain thing. What is it? They imagine a vain thing. The heathen rage. Seated emotions. Where does it come from? Out of the heart. Out of the heart. Boy, I mean, you get angry. Boy, being careful. The Bible says be angry and sin not. But how often is our anger due to our sin?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Somebody says something, you don't like it. Ain't got nothing to do about what's right and wrong. You just don't like what they said to you or how they said it. And your pride rises up.
And, hey, we know where pride goes, right?
What is this?
The haughty spirit. Yeah, I tell you what it does a lot of times. It ends up destroying a lot of families' relationships. It does a lot to restore a lot of community relationships. Because we got people mad with each other in their communities, and they can't even work together. Got all these attitudes. Hey, where are those that are building bridges, that are reaching out and making a difference, changing? We can always make excuses for our anger. Is it they raging? And the kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. They're beginning to reason amongst themselves. They said, after all, God made us like this. Why is he always trying to take away our fun? Huh? What's he going to do? That's what they're going to do. After Jesus Christ has ruled this world for 2,000 years, and he's taken away the sin of the world, no more honky-tonks, no more hell holes, Every time one rises up, he comes down and crushes it. Takes away the sin of the world. When they rebel, they're punished for it. As a good father would do any child, they are chastised. And at the end of 2,000 years, that's what we're looking at right here. At the end of 2,000 years, they rebel against God. So let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They did that. They desired something out of their heart. They raged, and now out of the mind, they've taken counsel. And now look, let us break their cords and cast away their, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So now, body and soul is yielded, to the deceitfulness of the heart and the unreasonableness of the mind. Lean not to thine own understanding. It'll lead you in the wrong direction every time. Trust, lean on all thy ways. We're to give heed to him. Lean not to our own understanding. All thy ways, we listen to him. We do what he says.
And they said, let us cast our cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens, he's going to do what? Laugh. He's going to laugh.
He said, they do this for their own destruction. I mean, could you imagine? I ain't even a flea when you compare it to God. I'm going to shake my fist at God. We're taking over, God. You understand? Huh? We're going to do things our way. But you're going to line up with us. Or else. I'll be around on visitation one time. I was out there and said, hey, boy, how you doing? The little kid about this tall. Looks at me and says, I ain't no boy. I'm a man. I said, excuse me, little britches.
I didn't really say that.
That's what I was sitting there thinking. Shake my own man. That's the way we oftentimes treat God. That's, here we are. When we make decisions that are based upon our own reasoning and our own desires, we're doing the same thing. A boy come to me at work one day. Man, he said, God's good to me. I said, he's good to everybody. He said, yeah, he's better to me. He said, that old, I said, I want this, brand new Boss Mustang, and God gave it to me. I said, God gave you that car? I said, you didn't have to, you ain't having to pay for it. He just give it to you? He said, no, I'm not having to pay for it, but he allowed me to take it on. You mean if I said, so you telling me God who said, owe no man for nothing, he told you to go out and get along, huh? And you don't even tithe. And you want to come out here and tell me that God done this? I said, you did this on your own, buddy. This was your own decision. You didn't consult with God at all. You didn't listen to His heed when He said, owe no man for nothing. You went out and did it yourself. He didn't like it. He got mad as fire. I said, you want it? And he said, you don't even tithe. I'm not telling a man that he's got a tithe. That's between him and God. But I tell you what, most of us are, you know, we're to be trying to support the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
As God has increased us, we are to give. And if God's in charge, I guarantee you, a lot of us would be giving a lot more than we are if God was really in charge of our pocketbooks. We've got to be careful about our own reasoning, how we figure things out. And I'm just as guilty as anybody in here. And God has warned us about this. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. I wonder how many times God looked down at me and laughed. He said, man, you're so foolish sometimes. You're so silly and stupid. I've already told you about this matter. And you know it. You forget so quickly. Well, God don't forget nothing. Every vow we've ever made. I said, we're going to give an account of it one day. We'll make him vows good. One way or another. Scares me to death. The Bible said we're going to give heed of every idle word that we spoke. Then shall he speak to them in his sore displeasure. Praise God. That he was merciful. He set a king upon us, over us. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. And he said, I'll take them. He said, I'll take them. I'll accept them. The Bible said over in the book of John, I think it's chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me cometh to me. And him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. This is the will of the Father. Which sent me, that all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing of it. You know you've been given to him? You know that you are his possession, purchased, paid for, belong to him? Hey, you know that? Guess what? If he was to lose you, he'd be a sinner. For this is the will of the Father, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He ain't going to lose you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to your predetermined destination. He says, be wise, therefore. Oh, ask me. He says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Don't that seem kind of an odd combination right there? Rejoice with trembling. Don't it seem like kind of odd combination right there? You're rejoicing that he's been merciful to you, but you're trembling because you understand the fear of the Lord and the consequences for everything that we've done against him and oftentimes continue to do. We rejoice. How many times have you sat here in a service with the Church of the Living God and God has spoke to your heart about some of your foolishness? But yet you're rejoicing because he loved you and died for you. And all you want to do is come to the altar. Not confession of what don't exist anymore. We're not Catholics. We don't go to the altar to confess our sins to get recovered with the blood of Christ. Our sins are gone. But in fear, we go to the altar and we lay down there and give Him thanks for what He's done for us. Amen.
Amen.
He has paid all our sins. That's our goal. Don't go down there carrying some kind of old sin that don't exist anymore, laying it out there. Go down there saying, God, I need You. And I know I failed You at times past. And God, You don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. You look at me and You see Your Son. I'm wrapped in Him. But I want my fellowship to be closer to You. And I've been straying away. And I just want to thank You that You've dealt with my heart and called me back to Yourself.
Amen.
How do You deal with me as a son? I'm just coming to get close.
Amen.
I'm trembling because I know what I've been and what I am. But praise God, I'm coming to rejoice in the fact of what You've done for me. Your heart will deceive you. Gotta tell you. Old devil will whisper that old heart and say, he's sick and tired of your failures. How could he love a piece of garbage like you? You think he's going to put up with you forever? He ain't going to put up with you, he ain't going to put up with me for sure.
Because I am that piece of garbage.
Praise God. I mean, see what? I'd encourage us, we will go into service a little bit and think a little bit about this, what all God's done for us despite our failures, and pour out our love toward Him.
Amen.
And our thanksgiving. And rejoice in what He has done for us. Amen.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him.
Amen.
I guess what I'm saying, I look at that, I put all that together, despite what our hearts have done, and far as it works, oftentimes, if we're not careful, it'll question what God has done for us. Our mind sometimes will question what it is that God has done for us. Sometimes the devil will try to whisper things in us, bringing up things about what we've done this past week. And hey, we ought to think about some of these things and try to get closer to God and do more of what's right and kick out the wrong. That's fine. But it says, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Despite what we may have done this day or this week or this month or this last year or this lifetime, I encourage you to trust Him. Don't listen to maybe what your mind can come up with or what it whispers to you. Satan warps on that mind. He's after to get you to dwell on things that, I'm going to tell you what. One thing that God gave me after I got saved, and I got saved, I was in the Methodist church, and you know, Methodists, you got some that believe that once you're saved, you're saved. But then you also got a large crowd of them that believe, well, once you get saved, you know, you stray or, you know, you lose your faith. You know what I mean? You quit believing, you know, you'll lose it. And you know, a person is in that condition. Satan telling them, well, you might be saved. You can't be sure and you're up and down on this. You know what kind of witness you will be for God? Zero. You want to go tell people what God has done for you, and you're not even sure of yourself? And you don't think God don't want you there, and you don't think He can put a Baptist there? You're crazy. And I ain't going to name a name, but I remember somebody from here, and I spoke to them because they had gotten wavered in some ways. They'd gotten kind of messed up on some things. I told them, I said, well, you know that you're saved, right? They said, I don't even know. I knew. There were things that they knew that only saved people can know. But you know what had happened? Their heart. And their mind had gotten so corrupted that they didn't know. They had forgotten that they were one time purged from their sins. They were wondering if they were saved or if they were damned. They didn't know. And you know what kind of witness they were? They had been a witness. They had been a strong witness. They'd cried aloud many times about what all the things that God had done for them. I guess what I'm trying to say here, there's a war. And it's after your heart. And it's after your mind, because if it can do that, it'll control your body and soul, the decisions that they make, and what they do, your body and your soul. Brother Joe used to say it all the time. He said, the devil can't take your soul, but if he's got your mind and your heart, I said, what else does he need to keep you from being and doing what God wants you to do? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.